So we're in our study in the book of Galatians, which Paul wrote because false teachers called Judaizers were trying to convince the believers that in order to be saved, it's not only by faith in Jesus alone, but they have to observe Old Testament ceremonial laws. So for the first two chapters, if you've been with us, Paul was making a defense for the pure gospel message. And he continues now in chapters 3 and 4. Now in these chapters, Paul will bring 6 arguments to prove that salvation is by grace alone and not by works of the law. And also, living your Christian life is also by faith. So, for the next few weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to investigate these arguments and train ourselves to use similar arguments when we're defending our faith or trying to prove to other people the gospel message. So, Paul starts off first with an argument of personal experience. So, he starts off with personal experience. Galatians 3, verse 1 in the first part, he says, Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? So at this point, when Paul uses this term, I want to point out 2 things. When he calls them foolish, he's actually saying they're spiritually dull. And then he says, who has bewitched you? Bewitched carries the idea of casting a spell. So in other words, Paul is saying to them, to the believers, you are believers in Jesus. Why would you seek spiritual truths elsewhere? Jesus is the truth. Today, he might have said something like, what kind of Kool-Aid are you guys drinking? Why are you following these people? It's a cult, okay? That's basically what Paul would say if it was today. So as believers, we have to be wise and we have to be spiritually sharp to know the spiritual truths of the Bible. So anything we read, we need to test by the Word of God. There's so many things out there now, right? There's Christian books, there's devotionals, there's listening to Christian pastors and teachers on podcasts. Anything that's said, we need to compare to what the Scriptures teach. I'm not saying stay away from those things because many of those things are very helpful for you. But if you hear something that kind of sounds a little off, check it out. It might be a little off. Maybe it's not something you haven't heard before because it was in the Bible and you just don't know about it. Maybe it's something you haven't heard before because it's not true from the Scriptures, so you need to test it. We don't follow people, we follow Jesus. Okay, we have to remember that. We don't follow people, we follow Jesus. We look to His Word. So Paul continues his appeal based upon their personal experience with the Lord. Now remember, Paul went, he preached these people, they believed in Jesus as their Savior, he planted churches, and they were gospel-centered churches. But these Judaizers came, and they kind of infiltrated and tried to mess things up. So he goes on to say this, it was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Now, Paul is not suggesting that they were there when Jesus was actually crucified. He's reminding them of the gospel that was preached to them. You are all sinners. Jesus was the Savior that was crucified on your behalf. His blood was shed for your sins. 3 days later, he rose from the grave to prove that he is God, and all who believe will have eternal life. Paul is saying to them, remember this, okay? Remember, this was publicly spoken to you. It was preached to you. You believed it. So next, what he does is he asks a series of questions in order to get them thinking about their Christian lives with the intent in teaching them. You began by faith in Jesus, so you continue by faith in Jesus. That means your Christian life is lived by faith in Jesus. Works of the law didn't save you. Therefore, works of the law are not necessary to live the Christian life. And when he says works of the law, works of the ceremonial law. We live the Christian life by faith in Jesus. So he fires a bunch of questions at them. We're going to look at those. He says, let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? So the answer to that is the same for them as it is for us. We receive the Holy Spirit by hearing the gospel and believing in faith. Okay, then we receive the Holy Spirit. One of the benefits of trusting in Jesus is not only do we go to heaven when we pass from this earth, when we die, one of the benefits is the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us and lives through us and helps us in our times of struggles, helps us to live the life that's pleasing to the Lord, helps us to have victory over sin in our lives. You know, when today we're observing communion, many times when we're observing communion, I say, you know what, the answer isn't trying really hard, okay, to get rid of sin in your life. The answer is trusting the Spirit to help you have victory over those sins in your life. So then he goes on to continue with these questions. He says, are you so foolish, spiritually dull, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? The answer again, same for them as it is for us. We live and are changed by the Spirit, not by trying harder. The theological term or the theological word for being changed is called sanctification, okay? Which simply means becoming holy or becoming more like Jesus. Now, let me just tell you, we'll never become perfect like Christ was perfect. But this is the goal of living your Christian life, to become more and more like Christ desires you to be more holy. So when you look at the continuum of your life, you know, some of you have been Christians for decades. It should be up and to the right, okay? It should be up and to the right. You should be growing closer to the Lord each day, each week, each month, each year. So now, maybe some of you are in a situation where you're like, oh man, like a year ago, I feel like I was spiritually stronger. Now I feel like, oh man, I'm like down and out. Part of the reason why you feel that down and out feeling is because maybe there's areas of your life that you're not asking Christ to help you with, to guide you with. So you're kind of struggling. So the goal is sanctification. We become more and more like Christ each day. So ideally, what we want to do is we want to look at our life and say, okay, maybe in the beginning of the year, maybe in the beginning of a season, you want to say, okay, where in my life am I not living the way Christ desires me to live? So then you want to ask the Holy Spirit to help you in those times, in that area of your life. See, after we trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit works in and through us to make us more like Jesus. The Judaizers were basically teaching them, through works of the ceremonial law, you can become a good person and acceptable to God. So that's basically what they were trying to say. They were saying, it's not just by faith in Jesus. Like, you got to do all these little extra things. So now he says this. Did you suffer so many things in vain? And the word here for suffer can also be translated experience. So it can say, did you experience all these things for no purpose, for in vain, for no purpose at all? So basically what he's saying here is this, is like when you trusted in Jesus, when I came to you, you trusted in Jesus, you had faith in Jesus, was this all for no purpose? Like, was Jesus' death for you for no purpose? Did you believe this for no purpose? Because now you're following after these guys that are saying, you got to do all this extra stuff. So then he goes on to say this. If indeed it was in vain, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? In other words, the question is, the miracle of your salvation and the daily miracles of how the Holy Spirit has changed you, is this by works of the law or by living by faith? Now, when we use the word miracle, most of us think of miracles as like very miraculous things. But do you realize that you and I are miracles, right? We're actually, the fact that Jesus saved us is a miracle. The fact that we've had little victories over sins in our life, that God has changed us in areas, are miracles. The answer is this. When we live by faith, when we live by faith, these miracles happen. We see God work in our life. Attitudes, mindsets, ways of living, things that we never maybe even were attracted to or never thought were possible in our lives, God is working, and it's a miracle. So the answer is living by faith, and the reason is twofold. First, the law doesn't have the power to change us. But even more than that, if we're trying to follow that ceremonial law, we will always mess up, and we can't keep that law to perfection. So now what Paul does is he appeals to them personally, right? Now what he does is he brings in this second argument, and that's the argument from Scripture, a scriptural argument. And he uses the example of Abraham. Now, every Jew knew about Abraham. And it was if they were thinking that Abraham was justified by the law, Paul, what he's going to do in this passage, he's going to clear that up, okay? You guys all know about Abraham, basically saying. Some of you might have heard about Abraham. Maybe if you grew up in Sunday school, you sang that little song, Father Abraham, and many sons. Anybody sing that? Many sons of Father Abraham, right? And then they start, right arm, you're like, why am I doing this? Here's the thing, okay? You're gonna understand why we sang that song, Father Abraham, okay? He says this, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Abraham is the father of the Jewish people, and he believed God, or in other words, he had faith, okay? He had faith. So now in Genesis 15, it says this, and he, talking about God, brought Abraham outside and said, look toward the heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. See, even before the law was given, Abraham was considered or counted righteous in the sight of God because he believed God. Because he believed God. In this Genesis passage, it also teaches that everyone that believes the Lord is considered an offspring of Abraham, okay? Everyone. That means we could sing, Father Abraham, have many sons. I'm one of them, right? This is important for Paul to share because that includes Gentiles. So these Judaizers were coming in, right, and saying, these Gentiles, they believe in Jesus, but they can't really be saved because they don't follow the ceremonial law. And if they don't follow the ceremonial law, they're in trouble. So Paul's saying, hey, this is important to share because this includes Gentiles. That was who these Judaizers were trying to say had to become Jewish to follow the law in order to be saved. Now, the argument Paul is trying to prove is faith in the Lord makes them offspring of Abraham like the Lord had promised. Salvation was always by faith. Abraham had faith. He believed God when he was childless. So do you understand this? Abraham, at 100 years old, had no offspring. And God brings him outside and says, see all the stars? If you can count them, which you can't, your offspring is going to be as numerous as the stars. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was 100 and had no offspring and God said that, it would probably be pretty hard for me to believe. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteous. He was counted in the eyes of the Lord by his faith as righteous. So Paul goes on. In the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. When Paul quotes here, it's from Genesis 12, which is foreshadowing the gospel. And this is what it says. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So you see what Paul does? He uses the scriptures that they would know to prove what has happened. Salvation by faith. Jesus was in the line of Abraham, and through faith in Jesus, we are blessed. But Paul is using the scriptural argument here to show the Galatians that it's not new news. This was the plan, and it was always the plan. It was always by faith. Gentiles will be saved, and it's through faith and not through the law. Paul then reminds them the works of the law can't save a person. In fact, it puts them under a curse because we can't fully obey it. Listen to what it says here. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. So now, if you're trying to be righteous in God's eyes by following the ceremonial law, you live under a curse because you won't be able to follow it. Now, some of you probably know people. Hopefully, there's not many of these people in our church. But, you know, they'll grab the Old Testament, and they'll look up, and they'll get to the ceremonial law. Now, some people, I would say maybe normal people, look at the ceremonial law and say, what in the world is going on here, right? And you've been there, right? If you've done the Bible through a year, you're like, yeah, Genesis, yeah, Exodus, and Deuteronomy, Leviticus, what's going on here? And then you'll text me, Mike, I don't know what's going on here, okay? Well, here's the thing. You see all these ceremonial laws, and then you'll get the normal people will question it, right? And then some abnormal people will start to say, well, I think this is a good idea to follow this part. Or I think this is a good idea. I'm not going to eat this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to. And they'll tell you. They'll say, you shouldn't do that. Just call that person a Judaizer. Okay? Here's the thing. They'll take things out of context and they'll say, I should do this. But the problem is this. They put themselves under a curse because they can't follow the whole ceremonial law. That's what Paul is saying here. So he's saying, okay, these Judaizers are coming in. They're trying to get you to do something that it was never the intention for you to do. You see, in this verse here, he's loosely quoting Deuteronomy 27. He says, cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And all the people shall say amen. So the law drives us to a place in which we realize we can't deliver. Do you get that? The ceremonial law will drive us to a place in which we realize we can't deliver. We don't measure up. It is impossible to follow through. We feel cursed. In fact, it shows the curse of sin in us. We're helpless and hopeless because we can't follow the law to perfection. But God doesn't leave us there. So when you're studying through the Bible and you see all these things, we don't just look and say, "Ah, throw it out." We look and see, this is perfection. But God doesn't leave us there because we can't be perfect. There's a way out. And before we see the way out, the law helps us to realize we need help. You've heard me say this before, right? But the gospel message starts with admitting you're a sinner. See, you might hear speakers go to churches and this and that, and you hear about the love of God. And this is popular. This is very popular. It's like, you got to focus in on the love. You don't want to tell people that they're a sinner, that they're doing something wrong. You want to focus in on the love of God. And I agree. We focus on the love. But if we can't admit we have a problem, we don't think the problem needs to be solved because it's not there. So if I don't tell you and I don't remind myself, we are sinners. We miss the mark. We do the wrong thing. If I don't tell you that, you're not going to think you have a problem. You'll be like, oh, God's a loving God. That's nice. You know, it's nice. He loves everybody. This is nice. But you have a problem. I have a problem. It's called sin. And it's not only breaking the ceremonial law, it's breaking the moral law. Because that's when Jesus came on the scene, right? And he started to preach, like Sermon on the Mount. What's it? He's like, oh, you've heard it said this. But no, it's actually this too. It's actually sins of mind, sins of your heart. You have a problem. Now, this is true of any problem. If you don't admit you have a problem, you're not going to try to solve it. If anybody has any experience with any like type of addiction ministries or anything like that, the first step is what? Admit you have a problem. If you confront the alcoholic and he says, I don't have a problem, he's not going to actually go to AA and get himself help and recover if they don't have a problem. But what's also true is this. Not admitting the problem doesn't make the problem not real. You get that? Some of us, we live our lives like that every day. Maybe it's not addiction, maybe it's anger. I'm not angry, okay? We don't admit it, okay? We won't admit it. And the people around you all know you have that problem, right? But you need to admit it. You need to admit it and give it to Jesus because he's the one that can fix your problems and solve your problems. Because guess what? The biggest problem you and I had, dying in sin, he fixed for us. He laid his life down for us. So if you don't admit you sin, you don't think you need Jesus. The law is there to show you, you do sin. But the false teachers were trying to convince the Galatians that the law could save them. Paul is teaching them from the scriptures. Even Abraham didn't believe that. Even Abraham didn't believe that. So then he goes on to say this. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. The righteous shall live by faith. Another loose quotation from an Old Testament passage in Habakkuk. The righteous shall live by his faith. You want to be declared righteous, you have faith in Jesus. Abraham was declared righteous because of his faith in God. He believed God. Again, to remind them, this is not new news. It has always been by faith. Paul goes on to point out the deficiencies of the law when he says this. But the law is not of faith, rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Now, that's kind of a weird statement. Commentator Warren Wiersbe actually points out, this is what he says on this verse. He says, but someone might argue that it takes faith to obey the law. So Paul quotes Leviticus 18:5 to prove that doing the law, not believing the law, is what God requires. You get that? Doing the law, not believing the law, is what God required when he gave that law. You got to do this. In order to help the people understand, I can't. The law says do and live, but grace says believe and live. Abraham believed God and lived. That faith legacy is what we do when we trust in Jesus. We believe. You know, when you talk to people, right? I mean, you've probably been in this situation before. You tell people about Jesus and you say something like, all you have to do is trust Jesus, believe him. And they say something like, sounds too easy. Have you ever had that? Sounds too easy. Some people call it easy believism. They say, oh, that just sounds too easy. There's got to be something extra you have to do. There's not. To live by means we rely on it to give us meaning and purpose. To live by faith brings us blessing. To live by faith brings the blessing that Abraham had, that we're counted righteous in the eyes of God the Father. That doesn't give us a free card to go and do whatever we want, but then it reminds us, if in order to live eternally, I have to live by faith in Jesus, I have to trust in Jesus, that means that everything I do in my life, I should live by my faith in Jesus, meaning he wants to help me in every single area, with every decision, every problem, everything that's going on in my life. He wants me to go to him. Right? He doesn't want me to just come out to church for an hour and just be like, done that, okay? Now I got the rest of my week to do whatever I feel like doing and solve my own problems and do my own stuff. He says, no. Live by faith in me. See, living by the law puts us under a curse because if we say we live by the law, we are required to do everything that the law requires, talking about the ceremonial law, without messing up. So these Judaizers, they were just doing a number on these guys. They were just messing with their head. Now, Paul sums up what he's been teaching them, and that's what Jesus did. So let's look at this verse here, Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. First, I want to point out this. The word used for redeemed here actually translates, it was used in that day for a person that was in slavery and someone came and bought that slave. But they didn't buy that slave in order to put them to work in their household. They bought that slave to set them free. Could you imagine that? You're in slavery and a new owner comes and says, I'm buying you, go free. That's what Christ has done for us. When he bought us with his blood, he bought us to set us free from the law. No, you don't have to obey that ceremonial law anymore. You're set free. Who the Son sets free, right, is free indeed. That's what Christ has done for us. We were slaves to sin under the law. Christ redeemed us to set us free. The way he did that was not easy. He became a curse, meaning he took our sin or our lawlessness on himself to pay the price, the punishment. You know, I remember when I was a little kid and you'd see pictures of Christ on the cross and be like, dude, this is weird, right? You're like, that's God? Like, why did he let them do that to him? You know, even when I read, like still even now as an adult knowing, and you know, when they're jeering at Jesus, I'm like, dude, like a good superhero flick, he would have came down and started, like, it's mind-boggling that Jesus would do that for us, would take the punishment for us, like a lamb led to the slaughter. You know, Paul uses Deuteronomy 21, which talks about how to execute someone when they break the law. This whole curse is everyone who is hung on a tree. In Deuteronomy 21, it talks about how to execute someone when they break the law. You see, the Jews did not crucify people. They stoned them to death, okay? That's what they did. But in cases of severe and shameful crimes, in order to deter other people from doing those severe and shameful crimes, they would hang a person on the tree, a dead body on the tree, to bring humiliation. You do this stuff, this is what happens to you. Okay? Guess what? It probably worked in their society. But here's the thing. It was so humiliating. Then they would take the body down because they had strict rules about dead bodies. Christ was hung on a tree in humiliation because of all our sin. Don't ever look at the scriptures and when you hear that angry crowd or when you read about that angry crowd saying, crucify him, don't ever be like, no, that's us. Okay, he was crucified for us. When he looked down the corridors of time, if he wanted to do that, he saw us. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Holy Spirit. See, Christ did all this for us so that we may be saved through faith in him and not by following the law. Just as Abraham was counted righteous, we are counted righteous when we trust in Christ. See, Paul, what he was doing here is he appealed to the Galatians by reminding them their personal experience of trusting in Christ. He wasn't like, are you guys Christians? He was like, no, you, like, I talked to you. I preached to you. You believe this. So he appealed to them and said, listen, you didn't get here by works of the law. How in the world are you trying to listen to somebody who is saying, now you got to live by works of the law? So then what he does is not only does he appeal to them personally, he goes to the scriptures. That's what we always need to do. Go to the scriptures. What do the scriptures say? The Old Testament scriptures that teach faith in Jesus, it all points to Jesus. He saves the Jew and the Gentile. When you and I, when we're sharing our faith, we're sharing our faith with others, use what the Lord has done in your life, how he's moved in your life, the things that he's done, the miracles, the blessings. And then go to the scriptures so they can understand their need for Jesus. Because you know what? If we stop at personal experience, what do they say? Well, that's good for you. I have my truth, right? That's what they say. I have my truth. You have your truth. No, there is a truth. And his name is Jesus. Now, this morning, we're going to observe communion as we do. And the first thing we do is we remember what Jesus has done. We remember what Jesus has done. Like Paul taught the Galatians, like we talk about all the time. The fact that Christ died to pay the price for our sins. Second thing we do is if we're struggling with anything, we ask Jesus for help. Following a ceremonial law isn't going to give us help. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, will give us help. So if you're struggling with anything, whatever that might be, ask Jesus for help. Ask him for victory. Lay that at the foot of the cross. Ask him, whatever you're dealing with, no matter if it's a decision, a sinful thing, future plans, whatever it is, just lay it at the foot of the cross. I'm going to give you a few moments of just silence, and then we'll partake together. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. So this is my body given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup. So this is the cup of my blood, the cup of the new covenant shed for you for forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Please bow as I pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for each person that's here. We're thankful for your word, for being justified by faith in you, and for living each day by faith in you. Lord, we pray that we're never led astray by the new teachings or repackaged old teachings that this world might have to offer. We pray that we live our lives by faith as you have called us to do. Faith in you and what you've done. In your precious name we pray. Amen.